We are doing our last week today in the Lover City series. So hopefully you guys have been here throughout it. We started off the series talking about what Lover City is and sort of the vision for Catch the Fire this year to really impact the city of Toronto or wherever you're from, not just with words, but with action and really loving our city. We talked about bringing peace into the city, prosperity. We talked about praying for our city. Tonight, it's time to put our money where our mouth is. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, put your money where your mouth is.
Put your money where your mouth is.
This is good. I know, it's so exciting you got to talk. Albert Einstein, how many of you guys have heard this quote? And I might be slightly off, but Albert Einstein says, only a life lived for others is worth living. Have you guys heard that before? Or is a world worth one life? There's like variations on it. Man, Albert Einstein has the best quote. You know the quote about mediocrity?
Yeah,
I just love it. Anyways, so today we're going to talk about action. We believe strongly that everyone in here is called to be a leader, is called to influence the place where God has put you. And influence really does require first a heart response, but then that heart response leading to action. Right? So the action obviously has to be backed up by a right heart response, which is love. But having a heart of love and having no action, not being compelled to anything, only gets you so far. And the Bible actually says that the love of God should compel us, should control us, should push us into action. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. For Lover City for this year, I want you guys to leave tonight excited about the possibility of taking a step of action into your city. Don't worry. I'm not asking you to give up a night a week to some charity every week for the next 6 months, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. It's going to be very personal. It's going to be for you. But I'm hoping that God really moves inside of you and really stirs up a desire to really get your hands out there and get involved. Matthew 5, 13 and 14. You don't have to turn there because I'm actually going to paraphrase. I'm going to read from the message. But I want you guys to take a little note and sometime this week, dig into that a little bit in your own version. And for those of you that come here week in, week out, bring your journals, bring your Bibles, come ready to participate. Yeah? Matthew 5:13. This is the message. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Don't worry, God's not putting you in the garbage tonight. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. What I want to talk about tonight is having and living generous lives. Yes? We've talked a lot about saltiness and being light. Actually, in the last 6 months, I believe we did a series where we really unpacked this a lot. And I remember John Long speaking and talking about what it means to be salt and practically what that means in the world. So we're not going to go over that part, but I do want to focus. As I was reading this, I felt like God highlighting that word generous, being generous with our lives and what that really means. I want you guys to take a moment, close your eyes. Think about somebody in your life who you consider really generous. And I want you to think about that person, and I want you guys to ask yourselves, or even ask Holy Spirit, what is it about this person that makes them so generous? What is it that makes you assign that quality to them? All right, you got it? Okay, shout some things out. What makes that person generous?
Giving their time.
Giving time, yeah. What else?
They prefer others above themselves.
They prefer others above themselves. What else?
Humbleness.
Humbleness, giving money, what?
They don't complain.
What else? Unselfish.
Unselfish,
love to give, selfless. What else? Come on, there's like...
Give their money, give their
Give their effort. I like that one. We haven't had that one yet. Give their effort. I heard something here. Say it again.
They have a transformation.
They have a transformation, yeah.
Love what others love.
They what?
Love what others love.
They love what others love. Yes, these are all really good traits. God is a very generous God, and I hope by now that you know that. I know that sometimes if we've had experiences growing up where we haven't had generous fathers or father figures around us, that sometimes it's hard to see God in that light, but God is actually supremely generous. It is one of his amazing characteristics. It comes hand in hand with love. Generosity, if you were to look up a definition, means sort of everything you guys said, to live liberally, and I don't mean as opposed to like some political party conservative. I'm liberal. I'm Republican. Wait a second, you're in Canada. What? It means liberal in giving or sharing, living a life liberally with others in an unselfish way, being a generous patron, and I like this one, being free from smallness of mind or character. Which is really cool. I really believe that to love our city in Toronto, wherever you are, it means you are going to have to step into a life of generosity. And I don't want to talk down to you. I am sure that maybe 99.9% of you are actually already living generously. I can't say I'm living as generously as I would like to. So at the very least, this message is for me. But with your time, with your money, with your energy, with everything that you have that God has given you to love your city, you are going to have to live generously. Would you guys agree with me on that? Excellent. We are on the same page. I once heard a story of somebody who had a vision, and I'm sure this person is probably really famous, and I'm about to not give them credit, so I'm really sorry if you're listening, but I can't remember who it was. But I heard of somebody who had a vision of hell and then a vision of heaven. And if you guys know this, wait till I'm done the vision and then you can shout out who it was. So in the vision of hell, they saw it was like a round pot and all these people around it, and everybody was insanely hungry. And they had these huge, long spoons. So like too long for them to be able to like maneuver it to feed themselves. And yet everybody was trying to feed themselves. So continually just dipping it in and trying to like somehow like throw it up to get it into their mouths because they couldn't actually maneuver the spoon. It was too large. And so everybody was starving, even though the pot was completely full. And then they had a vision of heaven, exact same thing, except for one big difference. Everybody around the pot was dipping the spoon in the food and then feeding it to the person across from them. And so everybody was getting fed. One, everything the same, one difference, generosity, looking after others. Does anyone remember who it was? All right. Thank God I'm not in danger of offending anybody. When I heard that, it really impacted. It was years ago that somebody told me this, which is why I can't remember, but it really impacted me. Just the thought of the fact that God has actually given us everything we need, and we could spend our lives feeling like we are lacking, and yet living completely for ourselves because we are continually feeling lacking, continually feeling like we need to meet that lack. And that really, really struck me. And I want to ask you guys a couple questions tonight. What stops you from being generous in your life? What stops you from being generous with your time? What stops you from being generous with your money, with your energy, with everything God has given you? I want you guys to actually be willing to ask yourselves that. And if you had a journal, this would be the time that you would be like, yes, journal opportunity for this week. For me, I have realized that the biggest blockage to me living a generous life is the belief that I am not going to get taken care of. So, for example, with my money, the biggest block that there's been to me living and with a free hand and really being able to just give everything away is the thought that there's not going to be enough for me and I need to take care of myself because no one else will take care of me. The same with my time. And for me, I would say probably this is my bigger issue, is being generous with my time and feeling like there's not enough time for me and nobody else is going to make time for me or make sure that I make time for me. So I need to control everything about how I spend my time so that I make sure that I have enough time off. And it is... This is a journey that I'm not, you know, sometimes people get up here and preach and they're like, and then the Lord said this, and I haven't had that problem since then. This is not one of those talks. I'm still very much in the middle of every time I do this, realizing, wait a second, I'm doing it again. I'm being controlling with my money or being controlling with my time because I have a fear that no one else is going to take care of me. Specifically, not believing that God is going to take care of me. That for me personally, and I'll be brutally honest with you guys, has been the number one thing working against me stepping into a life of generosity. And so there's completely this conflict that goes on inside of me on a daily basis because as a pastor, you have no choice. Like you have given up your life and now you're being held to it on a weekly basis. You can't run away. And so this has been like just like a conflict that I encounter almost daily. And God has talked to me over and over and over again about how much he cares for me and how much his caring for me releases me and frees me up to care for others without worry about myself, just like that vision, right? I'm released to feed somebody else because I trust God and I trust so much that he cares for me that I know I'm going to get fed. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at a proper time. Verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. There's so many verses in the Bible about how God cares for us, but this one personally is really speaks to me because I found it one day by accident and I was like, oh, you do. I love how that's worded. Because he cares, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And he really does. He cares about you just as much as he cares, even more, as the birds in the field, right? The Bible says. They don't care about anything. They're well-dressed. They're well-fed. And yet God cares for them. They're such a little creature, such a little thing. And yet look at your life and how much more will your Father in heaven care for you and provide for you and meet all the things that you need. Yeah. So wait, I'm talking to God. So here's the deal. There was a time in the Old Testament, in ancient Israel, where people were required to make sacrifices to the Lord. You guys remember reading that somewhere? Hopefully, yeah. There's this really cool prophecy in Isaiah where God like sends a message to his people, and he says something that seems so contradictory. And I'm going to read it because it makes sense in the end. Isaiah 1:11, if you just want to write it down, look it up later. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? This is the New Living Translation, my favorite version. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I am sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I take no pleasure from blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come and worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgust me, etc., etc., etc. He goes on to talk about how much it disgusts him. And then he says in verse 16, wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans and fight for the rights of the widows. And this is such an interesting prophecy because it is the Lord who originally set out the said rituals and sacrifices. It is the Lord who originally was like, I want you to sacrifice this on this day and we'll call this festival this. And I want you to do this on this day and we'll call this this and you'll do that when I do this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now he's talking about how all these things really just make him sick and he's tired of it. seems a little bit contradictory. However, the Lord never changes, and we know that because the Bible says there's no shadow of turning in him. And so it's like, okay, we've missed something and kind of reading that and understanding. And what I really believe it is that all those things, those sacrifices and the law and all those things were meant to lead people into the heart of something. And that at some point they missed the heart of that and just kept the behaviors, and we call that religion. And really that is what was offending the Lord so much. That they, here's all these things that people are doing, quote unquote, because that's what their mother and father did, and that's how you get close to God, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, the very heart behind those things, which is the relationship with God, was not being invested in. Does that make sense to you guys? And God is saying, if you really want to please me, you really want to sacrifice, go fight for justice. Go take care of widows. Go take care of the orphans. Old Testament. New Testament, James 1:26. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. I like that. Say again. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Here's the thing. I am not saying that it is bad to come to church and do what we do. There is merit in that, okay? However, this, on a Sunday night, is not meant to be your relationship with God for many, many reasons. But it really is not meant to be your relationship with God. When we come on a Sunday, we're meant to come together to celebrate what happens in our relationship with God outside of this building and outside of this time. Do you guys get that? And what I really want to throw to you guys today is that your journey with God at some point has to turn the page from me and God only to me and God, and I'm using that to point to other people. Okay, and I'm not just talking friendships and that, but I'm talking about actual taking care of the widows, taking care of the orphans that are out and around in your community. That doesn't always mean homeless people. I think that some people like have this really weird thing that like to serve God means to go serve the homeless people, and for everybody it is different. Okay, they're for some people the orphan is the person at work that is having a really bad time, or people in hospitals or whatever. The point is, it's personal to you and God, and I don't want you guys to walk away from this thinking, Noelle said I have to go volunteer with the homeless because that's what God asks me to do. Okay, that's not true. God is asking you to do something for you, but he is asking you to do something that is flowing out of your relationship with God. I don't know if you guys remember Heavy Rain 2000 something. That's not helpful. That's not helpful at all. But there's the guy that came from, what is his name? The guy that came from Oshawa. Thank you, Derek Schneider. He came and he gave this amazing talk about how, as Christians, we can sometimes get into like living in a perpetual pep rally where we gather together and we're like, yes, kingdom of God come, yes, kingdom of God do this, yes, kingdom of God do that. And we never leave and actually play the game. We never leave and put ourselves in a situation where we actually need kingdom of God to come. We need to actually be willing to get out of this pep rally where we're like, you can do it. And it's so important that we have pep rallies, but we need to actually get into the game. And I remember Linda once preached an amazing message at Central where she talked about the three stages of your relationship with God. And it was like, if you had a book, the first chapter of your relationship with God would be meeting God for the first time and everything that led up to that and just finding the Lord. And how the second chapter would be about God cleaning up your life and taking out all the gunk that had come from your past and really making you whole and growing in him, growing you in relationship with him to get you to a place of wholeness. And that most people think that that is all. But then there's always a chapter three, which is then him saying, okay, well, with this wholeness now go and sending you out. And we can see that, you know, in the Bible, Jesus had his 12 and he discipled them. And then he said, now you guys go and make disciples of all nations in Matthew 28, teaching them everything you've learned from me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you guys this year to, and I'm setting a really simple goal. One time this year, you've got like 11 months now, okay? One time this year, volunteer somewhere. Go and do something. We started Love Our City not just because it sounded cool and we got cool t-shirts and it was a really good logo and whatever. That's not why. We started it because we really wanted to have a year where we made an impact and we didn't just pray about it, but we actually went out and did it. Not that there's anything wrong with praying about it, okay? But then chapter 3 needs to come and you need to actually put your money where your mouth is and do something. So we put together, again, if you've forgotten, this great website. What's the website address? It's really easy, lovercity.ca. And I went on it today, actually. There is a bunch of charities on there. It tells you about them, tells you who they are, and there's a nifty little button where you just click connect, and it connects you to them, which is amazing. I want you guys all to visit the website and say, Holy Spirit, highlight something to me. And allow him to highlight a charity, something, for you to go and at least once this year volunteer some of your time. Because here's the thing. When you begin to be generous with your time, God is very quick to back you up and confirm that generosity really is the right way to live. I was really, I'm brutally honest with you guys, I was really not looking forward to speaking tonight. I've had a very rough 3 weeks. I've barely been here, as you guys know. I've been sick every week and I've been working overnights. Poor me. And I was really like, Jordan this morning was like, do you just want me to speak? And I knew, I was like, yeah, I could say yes to this and he would do it. But I knew deep down, I was like, God's like, it's just a cop out. And so I couldn't say yes. And I was like, all right, well, I have to take time today to prepare. Today's my only day off this week. And I was feeling very sorry for myself, which I'm supposed to be fasting in January. And I was failing at that. But then it was amazing. We were driving here and it was 3:30 and I said to Jordan, like, today feels like I've had a full day off. Like, we did so much today. We went for a walk to Hyde Park. We did groceries. We had downtime. We made a meal together. We watched Futurama, like 3 episodes. I did some schoolwork that I had to do at 5. And like, I showered and I brushed my hair and didn't really clean anything, but it's for another day. And on top of all that, I prepared not only for School of Champions, but also for this. And it felt like, I felt like nothing got taken away from my day. I know you guys are like, what? You don't like to preach? No, I like to preach, but sometimes, you know, you just have those days where you're like, please God, just let me have a day off. And it was amazing how supernaturally, I can't account for it. I said to Jordan at 3:30, it felt like so much more time than it was. And it was supernatural. Like, I could swear the clock stopped today, somewhere around noon, and I did a bunch more stuff, and then God was like, okay, now the clock can keep going. You know, like when he stops the sun? I could swear that that happened today, and it was totally supernatural. My point is, when you step out and you go, okay, God, I am going to be generous with this resource that you've given me, God is so quick to back you up because he wants you to know that that is the right way to live, not only for others, but really for you. And he's so passionate about communicating that to you and taking every opportunity where you say, okay, God, I'm going to risk this and I'm going to give up my time, even though this is my only free night this week. He's so quick to come and meet you there and give you everything you need. You know how it says that he supplies seed for the sower? That's not just for money. That's for anything you're sowing, your time, your energy, your food, anything. He supplies that for you. So when you feel like you don't have it, ask God to provide, but take the risk anyways. Don't wait. Don't be like, okay, God, I will go ahead and volunteer when I find myself with a free week. Guess what? That's never going to happen. Ever. Ever. Okay? Ever. As young adults, you have the most amount of time now that you will ever have. It's really true. I've heard it from like older people. It really is true. And so if you are waiting for that to open up before you actually take a step of risk and actually generosity, then you're going to miss out on really understanding how the kingdom of God works in this area, right? So be intentional about it. Trust that God is good enough for you to mark that date on your calendar, even though it looks like you could probably not have energy for it. Trust that he is good enough that when you get to that point, he's right there to meet you. Yes? All right. Close your eyes. Father God, I ask right now that you would highlight to us this week and make us aware, Father, of the ungodly mindsets that are keeping us from living in a generous spirit. And Father, we know that you are the Father of all generosity. God, you have been so generous with us. Father, I ask that we would reflect that likeness in increasing measure, Father. Would you take out and renew our minds of everything, Father, that speaks that you don't care or that you won't be there, that we will not have enough. Father, I bind up the spirit of lack in every one of us. Father, I bind up that spirit of poverty. Daddy, would you loose inside of us an incredible trusting spirit that knows that everything will always be okay because God is taking care of us. And Father, I ask that we would really take the step to actually go somewhere once and volunteer. And God, would you let it snowball into an incredible, life-changing thing that completely makes us walk in a different direction from then on. Cell leaders, I want you to ask yourselves next week or the week after if they've done this. And I want you to hold them to it. Yes. Also, I want to say, little message, cell leaders, you're thinking, oh my God, seriously, I give up like 3 nights of my week already. This message, it is for you, but I also want to honor you and say, I know that you've already given up and have been so generous with your time and effort, and that Jordan and I so appreciate it, and that in no way we are saying, now go and do more. I want you guys to continue to seek God and use the generosity that you've been pouring out to pour into others who will then go out and do. Yeah, unless you're also wanting to, then
yeah.
Go for it. Bless you guys. We'll see you next week.